You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin wakes up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We do appreciate it. We hope your Monday is off to a great start. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. It is time not just for stuff you need to know, but it is time for the first word in our Accelerate Your Summer Text to Win multi-state contest. 5 more days giving you a chance to win $100 in a Wisconsin Dells prize pack multiple times a day. Plus, every time you enter, you are in the drawing for the grand prize of $250 in gas and $250 in groceries. Great prizes. You only have to do one thing, Jamie.
Yes, it's super simple. All you have to do is text us using your Civic Media app. If you haven't already gotten that, please do so by going to your Google or your Apple store. Download it for free. You're going to have until 8 o'clock to get us this word and then multiple chances throughout the day to also qualify for all of the prizes that Brian laid out there quite nicely. So without further ado, this hour's keyword is light. L-I-G-H-T. Light is the word that you need to text us right now before 8 o'clock using your Civic Media app so that you can qualify for cash and prizes. Light, L-I-G-H-T, is the word that we need before 8 o'clock this morning. So good luck to everybody.
Yes, and we will repeat that throughout the hour, and there are more words throughout the day, so continue listening to Civic Media and your Civic Media app. All right, that's what you needed to know to get some prizes, but what else do you need to know?
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, here's something you need to know. La Crosse gets $2.4 million for affordable housing projects. La Crosse received that $2.4 million in state and federal funding to help build 2 affordable housing projects that will create nearly 100 new housing units. One project will transform the former Lincoln Middle School into the Heritage Lofts at Lincoln, creating 51 affordable apartments and community space after the school closed in 2023. The second project, 7th Street Residences, will add 45 affordable units near the Green Island Ice Arena and provide housing options for working families and residents with moderate incomes. City officials say the projects will help address La Crosse's growing housing shortage and support workforce housing needs as employees struggle to find enough affordable places for workers to live. A recent housing study found La Crosse County needs nearly 4,900 additional housing units, including more than 2,000 apartments affordable to lower-wage workers. Construction on the Lincoln School redevelopment is expected to begin in early 2027, with both projects scheduled to be completed in 2028. We're hearing more and more about these affordable housing developments, and that's great because just those numbers alone in La Crosse County are terrifying. And then you get them, you magnify that by the rest of the state not having affordable housing. And this is a problem that's not going away, but a little bit, little start.
Yes.
That's how you got to get the first steps in. So good for La Crosse.
Absolutely. In other stuff you need to know this morning, President Trump abruptly ended a roughly 50-minute interview with NBC's Kristen Welker during his visit to Wisconsin, saying he had, quote, had enough, and criticizing NBC as a one-sided, crooked network. The exchange became tense after Welker challenged Trump's claims about California primary elections, leading the president to remove his microphone and walk away from the interview. Now, this interview was conducted during rainy conditions in Chippewa Falls, with both Trump and Welker later acknowledging weather and audio issues complicated the conversation. Trump referenced the interview during his Wisconsin event, telling the crowd he, quote, got a little bit angry with NBC, but said they ultimately had a good time. Welker later said she and Trump spoke the following day and agreed to do another interview in the future. This interview covered a range of topics, including the economy, the Iran conflict, and federal spending, and NBC later published a fact check of several claims discussed during the conversation. There's been video of that circulated all over this weekend. It's been shown several times across many news agencies. If you weren't able to see the full thing, just go to your favorite news source.
I'm going to be honest. I sat down with a cup of coffee And, you know, at 9:30, the local news is over, and then Mass comes on. So I flipped over to Meet the Press, and I started to watch the interview, and I was like, I can't. It's too early on a Sunday.
Yeah.
I can't listen to this. I missed it. I had it on, and I missed it. I missed his petulant little outburst. I've been critical of Kristen Welker privately, well, just to my wife on Sunday mornings, yelling, why doesn't she ask the harder question? Why doesn't she follow up? What she did, and then he said she was stupid. Again, he loves to call ladies stupid. I don't, ladies, why do you still support this guy? But anyway, yes, so he had a little temper tantrum, and he stormed off the interview because finally somebody called him out.
Yeah.
Finally, she was like, there's no proof of you know, the election in California being fake. There's no proof of this. There's no, ooh, he doesn't like that. And he especially doesn't like it from women.
Yeah.
Man, oh man, this guy hates strong women.
He does.
Nasty women.
He does. And
Brian, they should know their place. They should keep their mouths shut.
And later this morning, we're going to actually have a fun game of fact or fiction based on the president's appearance in Chippewa Falls on Friday. So we'll get into a little bit of that later this hour. So join us for that as well.
Well, I read this whole story. I was trying to figure out how to fit this into the show because it's fascinating, this thing.
It is fascinating.
A new private property signs in a rope barrier along Lake Michigan near Lion's Den Gorge Nature Preserve in Ozaukee County are sparking debate over public access to Wisconsin shoreline. Go and follow up on this story and read more. We'll probably talk about it more. Nearby property owners say the signs were installed because of ongoing problems with litter, dog waste, trespassing, and people climbing unstable bluffs near their home. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is investigating and plans to determine the site's official ordinary high water mark, which helps determine where the public can legally walk along the shoreline. And that's a very important part of this story. The Ozaukee County Sheriff's Office says people generally have the right to walk along the beach below the ordinary high water mark and advises visitors to stay on wet sand or in the water to avoid trespassing concerns. The dispute comes as separate Lake Michigan beach access, as a separate Lake Michigan beach access case in Shorewood moves through the courts and could eventually reach the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So I started reading this and I immediately thought, oh, these spoiled people who live on the lake. What? Oh, they don't want people walking along the lake. Then I thought, these people who leave their dog waste and drop garbage and stuff, I hate them too. Then I read more and I said, oh, okay. There is a law that says if you have a house on a bluff, your property does extend down to the natural high water mark. So people could still theoretically, down the road, still walk along the water's edge, get your feet wet, enjoy the walk, but you couldn't go past a certain point.
Right.
Which makes sense because the other thing was some of the residents were saying, yeah, people are climbing these bluffs. We're afraid somebody's going to get hurt. It's a liability issue because it technically is our property and we don't want to have to cover somebody falling off a bluff because they didn't obey the no trespassing signs. So it is a complicated thing, but I came to the conclusion that these property owners have that right. And it would not, as I thought initially, completely shut down that stretch of beach. It would still be accessible. You just have to, you know, ply your trade elsewhere. And do me a favor. I don't care where you are outside. I don't care if you're in the parking structure next to the station. Pick up your garbage, pigs.
I don't know why we still have to
clean up after your dog.
I still don't know why we have to teach people to do this.
Because people are dumb and they don't think, they only think of themselves.
That's what it is. Yes. We want to get into this story as well because this is going to affect a lot of people. This is our big story. If you or somebody you know uses WIC, the WIC benefits, you're going to want to pay attention to this because the U.S. House has approved a new federal spending bill that would actually reduce funding for the WIC program by about $200 million. Now, of course, if you're not familiar, WIC provides food assistance and nutrition support to pregnant women, new mothers, infants, and children up to the age of 5. This particular proposal, Brian, would actually reduce monthly fruit and vegetable benefits for participants. Benefits for breastfeeding mothers could drop from about $52 per month to $13, while benefits for young children could fall from $26 to $10 per month. About 5.4 million people across the country actually receive WIC benefits, and it helps people purchase healthy foods like fruits and vegetables, milk, eggs, cereal, infant formula, kind of important if you have an infant in the house,
yeah,
whole grains, and other approved items.
Jamie, before you go on,
yes,
can I clarify something?
Sure.
Is this the House run by Republicans? They are the party that's telling people we need to have more kids, right? And that
they are
even have kids you can't afford, which
yes,
they're trying to make more,
yes,
you know, possible because they're cutting funds. So these are the people they care and correct me again. They care about people if they're unborn. They care about children, mm-hmm, but once you're born, you don't need to eat healthy. And you don't need to get meals in school.
Right.
So it's only until you actually are outside your mother's body,
yes,
that you're important.
Yes.
Once you hit the streets, you're a burden.
Apparently so. And we
okay,
don't want to make sure, we want to make sure that when that happens, that you don't have the support that you need or the healthy foods or, you know, the medical care,
yeah,
that you actually need. But in case you're wondering, WIC actually differs from SNAP or food stamps because those benefits can only be used on specific foods that meet federal nutrition standards designed for pregnant women, babies, and young children. Now, in case you're wondering how this impacts Wisconsin, the WIC program serves more than 142,500 women, infants, and young children each year, with roughly 106,000 people receiving benefits in this state alone. That is 38% of all babies born in Wisconsin and more than a quarter of children under the age of 5 statewide are using the WIC benefits. Overall, it serves about 54% of the eligible population. And here's the other thing that people in this state need to remember, that this is an urban, a rural area. This is a program that benefits all of them. The biggest users of WIC in the state of Wisconsin are white women who live in Milwaukee, Madison, and Marathon counties.
Say that again, would you?
Yes. So the biggest portion of WIC recipients in this state goes to Milwaukee, Madison, and Marathon counties.
That can't be right.
It is.
I know.
I did the research.
I know, but it goes against
everything.
All the
things. Yes.
So not only would this cut nutrition, it's going to also force states to create waiting lists or,
yes,
limit enrollment if available funding is not enough. Health experts also say that WIC is a preventative program that improves birth outcomes, child nutrition, and long-term health. Every dollar invested in WIC generates an estimated $2.48 in future savings through lower health care and social service
costs. Just do away with it.
But again, short-term vision, short-term, we're cutting this. We don't pay attention to long-term because a lot of the people making these decisions are not going to be here in the long-term.
Yeah.
It's just time. It's just fact.
I mean, the whole thing is this is a program that is supposed to help and benefit mothers so that they can stay healthy. They can get the assistance that they need. They can buy the fruits, the vegetables, the supplements, and potentially even the baby formula, which, again, kind of important if you have a child in the house to make sure that they're healthy.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, It's tough. Man, it's a very happy Monday here. We're going to play Swipe or Stay next. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson. 7:19 right now. Thank you for joining us today. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning, 7:22 right now. It is time for Swipe or Stay. This is where we put the politics aside for a few moments with our senior producer, Frank, and we get more into the pop culture. How's it going today?
It's going good. We've got some interesting stories, to say the least, for today.
All right.
We're ready.
All right, here's how it's going to work. If you're new to Swipe or Stay, I'm going to read some pop culture headlines. Brian and Jamie are going to have to decide whether to stay and hear more or swipe on to the next one. Parker gets to be the tiebreaker. if it comes down to that. So let's get moving to story number one. Country star has another onstage outburst.
I'm going to pass. It's got to be Morgan Wallen because he's human.
Morgan Wallen.
Morgan Wallen. He's skibbity.
That name, Morgan Wallen.
Let's swipe on Wallen. This one.
We'll swipe it.
Swipe.
TV star apologizes for resurfaced photo.
Oh, what could it be? I'm staying.
I'll stay.
Parker, do we have the photo ready, by the way?
Oh, boy. We've got it ready, Frank.
Okay.
What's happening here?
Wow. So, heated rivalry may be the most popular and successful shows of the year. However, one of its stars is dealing with something from his past. Hudson Williams is apologizing for this resurfaced photo with if you look in the top left corner of his forehead, there is a swastika.
I was just looking at the upside down cross, Satan. But no. Yes, I do see the swastika. Yes, I see it.
Oh my goodness. Gosh.
Now,
I thought it was Ryan Reynolds at first.
As with everything, context is important.
Yes.
Okay.
Hold on.
I am.
What happened was he fell asleep and other intoxicated teens drew all over him.
Oh,
somebody thought they were being funny.
Okay.
And drew a swastika on his forehead.
Who are these other teens then, and why would they think that's funny?
Those pixelated honeys.
I mean, probably just some dumb college friends.
Okay.
Sources close to Hudson described the incident as a group of underage kids doing dumb things while under the influence, adding that the behavior was completely inexcusable. How do you handle this one?
You let it go.
I think you try not to draw any more attention to this one, right?
Yeah.
Draw attention.
I got
pun
it.
Pun completely unintended. I'm not that clever this morning, but
very nicely done. Well, it's a permanent mark on his record, Frank. That's all I'll say about that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Parker.
Good. Any more puns before we move on?
Yeah, let's not put a finer point on this story.
All right. Celebrities courtside seat is going up for auction.
I'll stay.
All right, I'll stay. Because I know the sporty sportsmans will get mad.
All right, so you're probably thinking that something like Spike Lee's auctioning up his seat to like one of the Knicks games or something of that nature,
that
right?
That would never happen. Yeah, but...
It would never happen, and it's not happening because this isn't a seat to a game.
Okay.
It's his own seat? You get to rub my booty?
Taylor Swift's seat that she sat in for the Eastern Conference Finals game
a couple weeks ago is currently up for auction.
I hate
that. That's
it.
Right.
I hate this so
it
much.
It can be yours,
stop
Parker.
It. No.
Stop. How one stop.
It's well, a how chair.
It's a chair. It's a folding chair. I could have
it
picked
is a
courtside
seat.
What about
it's a
Travis's
folding chair?
What about the
nobody cares about Travis's
what about
chair?
The, what about the
he's just a football player.
What about
Frank,
the cup
let me
he
ask this.
From?
He's just Ken.
Is there some sort of lingering mark or stain or how do I know it's Taylor Swift's chair?
Wow.
Here's what we have from the auction site.
What do we have? Let's see.
As one of the most recognized and influential artists of her generation, the occupant of this chair has earned worldwide acclaim through a career defined by commercial success, critical recognition, and multiple Grammy Award victories.
Uh-huh.
Her attendance reflects the cultural reach of the NBA playoffs and the significance of the Eastern Conference Finals as one of the most visible events in sports.
Stop.
What is
stop.
The starting bid on this? Do we know?
The starting bid was $100.
Do we know what it's
what
up
it
to as
for?
Of right now?
We do. Do we have any guesses?
$7,300.
Oh, much higher.
I'm going to say like $12,000.
Parker? Oh,
I think much higher. I think this is going to be like 40,000 at least.
People it so is. Good. Brian was closest. He still went over.
Really?
Six grand
is
right
now.
Okay.
$6,000 right now, but the auction doesn't end until June 14th.
Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye
can
on this.
Can we buy
to
it
see.
For our cow?
I. There's nothing.
So we can milk it? Can we buy that and use it to milk
well,
our adopted cow?
The Melkin stool. The Melkin stool.
So this was my thought. Stool.
Yeah.
For anybody, like, even if, let's say you're a billionaire. Maybe if I was a billionaire and just had money to throw around, I would, as like a joke piece. But like, do you walk people through your house and be like, do you see what this is?
That's so weird.
And you know somebody from like New York bought this.
Of course.
What is this? It's a Cavs seat. Taylor Swift sat in it. Are you sure?
My.
Well, here's the certificate.
I mean, it's so it's very strange. It's very strange. I don't understand our obsession with culture.
If I have the money to buy this, I'm buying something cooler.
Than a chair she sat in.
Yeah, not some. No. Yeah. No, unless she was really sweaty and there's like a Shroud of Turin situation going on there.
Then you'd buy it?
No, but I'd understand it a little more.
This is weird.
All right, Deck, we got time for a quick one, Frank.
Quick one. Do we have a quick one?
Buffalo Wild Wings is being roasted online for a tweet relating to the NBA Finals. If you watch Game 1, there was a fan that ran on the court to take a selfie with Victor Wembanyama and was rushed off the court. He resulted in being banned from all NBA stadiums for life. Buffalo Wild Wings tweeted out, "Internet, help us find this banned fan. He can watch the rest of the NBA Finals on us," because that's great. Let's encourage that behavior.
No.
So they're taking L's left and right.
No.
That's Swiper Stay, people.
Wow.
I'm staying for the next segment. Yeah. We have Fact or Fiction coming up.
Fantastic. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
I know. You guys get me for two whole segments
very
in a row.
Very exciting stuff.
Crazy.
Very
extremely
exciting,
so much so that I even trimmed up a little bit last night because I noticed that from the last game we played, the lieutenant governor of the state shared one of our clips, and it happened to be my face talking on her Instagram story, and I looked like a homeless person. No offense to them. Just saying, I wasn't shaven.
Listen. It's early in the morning. We are not expected to be fashion.
I'm not used to being on camera.
No, this
is what
true.
I'm
radio.
It,
that's
it is
what
radio.
We got into this
before
for.
Before we get
radio.
Into Fact or Fiction, though, let's quickly give out our Accelerate
Please
Your
do.
Summer Text to Win multi-state word again. This is your chance to win $100 and a Wisconsin Dells prize package. This is part of the daily giveaway. Plus, then every entry puts you into our grand prize drawing for $250 in gas and another $250 in groceries. The keyword this hour, light, L-I-G-H-T. You got to text us using your Civic Media app. Again, that word is light, L-I-G-H-T. This is going to be for one of many opportunities to enter and qualify throughout today and this week, but light, L-I-G-H-T. So good luck to everybody. All right. No.
All right, Frank, what do you got?
All right. So as you all know, President Trump was in Chippewa Falls this weekend.
Yes, he was.
To speak about agriculture to the farmers. Mm-hmm. And I was given the greatest task of all time, which is to watch the whole thing and come up with a fact or fiction game, which we love playing on here.
It's
the greatest radio game of all time.
It is.
True.
And you're a good human being, Frank.
Taking
one for the team.
I really am. This is my burden to bear. So here's how it's going to work. I'm going to play some clips from President Trump's speech in Wisconsin. Brian and Jamie have to decide whether it is fact.
That's the fact, Jack.
Or if it's fiction.
Pure fiction.
Here we go. We ready?
Mm-hmm. We're ready.
And we've had great success here in Wisconsin, and we brought a lot of business to Wisconsin. We recommend it. I love the place.
Fiction.
Did President Trump bring a lot of business to Wisconsin?
That is fiction. That's what I'm going with.
Brian, going
fiction.
With fiction?
Fiction. Fiction.
Pure fiction.
It is fiction. So let's dive into this.
Please,
the biggest
please.
Example we can look at is from the first Trump administration with Foxconn. Do we remember Foxconn?
I do remember Foxconn.
Yes.
R.I.P.
In 2017,
pour one out for Foxconn.
Yes, in 2017, the announcement promised a roughly $10 billion LCD factory and up to 13,000 jobs in southeastern Wisconsin.
Yes.
No.
They signed a revised incentive deal outlining a $672 million investment from Foxconn, creating fewer than 1,500 jobs. Trump has promised more investments in his latest term, but if it's anything like Foxconn, we cannot count any of those as fact just yet. Yeah. Remember during the State of the Union address when he was talking about all the investments that we have?
Yes.
Yes.
And he inflated his own number, and the White House said it's actually $9.7 trillion, and I think he doubled it in his speech. So we're going with fiction for this one.
Okay.
Fiction.
There's nothing sadder either than driving by the Foxconn building and seeing, like, two cars parked outside of it on a Wednesday afternoon at 1 p.m. If you're in the vicinity sometime, go do it, and that's about all you're going to see outside the building. It is a very sad sight.
All right, moving on to number two.
And we've had great success here in Wisconsin, and we brought a lot of business.
Sorry, that's number one.
We're at a point, we're going to come out of Iran very quickly, and it's going to be very strong, one way or the other, whether it's a piece of paper or the very tough way, okay? The very tough way is maybe the easier way, but we're going to come out, and your fertilizer prices are going to go way down, just like they were 4 months ago. Your fertilizer's down, your energy's down, your oil, your gas is all coming way down.
All right, so the question is, our gas, there was a lot there,
there
I know.
A lot
some of
in
these
that
I
one.
Have to, yeah. There's some of these I extend just a little bit because this really is how the dots get connected.
Sure.
Is the hard way is the easy way? Okay.
The hard way is the easy way.
Okay.
Gas and fertilizer prices will come way back down as soon as the conflict with Iran ends.
Fiction.
That's the fact, Jack.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hold on.
This one gets tricky.
Okay.
None of these are really black and white for fact or fiction. Okay. So if the U.S. and Iran reach a lasting peace and shipping through the Strait of Hormuz returns to normal, gas and fertilizer prices will come down. That is a fact.
Okay.
Correct.
Gasoline prices could respond within weeks, while fertilizer prices may take longer because global inventories and supply chains need time to recover. There's also a very real possibility that gas prices will not come down to pre-war levels anytime soon, if at all. So, it's mostly fact. If you're just looking at it, prices are going to come down. Yes, that's a fact. Are they going to immediately drop? No.
But that's just part of the allure, right? By telling people the half-truths, then it seems like you're telling them the truth or you're not actually fudging the actual facts of what's going to happen. That's been part of the MO of this particular administration since the first version, is if you say partially true things, then it seems like it's all true.
And that's why you listen to Daybreak.
That's right.
Because you know producer Frank's going to watch it for you and do the fact checking. That way you can just kind of turn your brain off.
That's right.
And hear me spout about it.
And you don't have to watch
these. What do you got next, Spouty?
Here's what we've got. If you're just tuning in, we are playing Fact or Fiction. We are fact-checking President Trump's speech from Wisconsin this past weekend.
We had the worst border maybe anywhere in the world. There was no border. 25 million people came in. Drug dealers came in. People from mental institutions came in. Murderers came in. 11,888 murders, most of whom, over 50% of whom, killed. Can you believe this? More than one person. One killed seven people. We allowed them into our country. We've got them largely. They're going out, and they're going out fast. We have to fight crooked judges, crooked administrations, crooked politicians.
Wow. That was a stream of consciousness.
Man.
Fiction.
I'm going to say fiction.
Pure fiction.
You know what's fun about some of these? It's the same speech recycled over and over. Yeah. Like some of these, like especially for the immigration thing, I feel like I looked at my old script, copied and pasted that section back
up. 2020 all over again.
Truly. All right, as for people entering the country, U.S. Customs and Border Protection recorded about 11 million border encounters during Biden's term, but that does not mean 11 million different people entered the country illegally. That is far from the 25 million quoted by President Trump as in the clip you just heard. The true number of unique individuals who entered unlawfully is not known. As for murderers, and I want this to be very clear, the FBI's national crime data does not systematically track the immigration status of homicide offenders. Does not track it. So there is no official federal count of murders committed by undocumented immigrants between January 2021 and January 2025.
What about the mental patient? Do we track our mental patients coming in? Do you have that number? Because a lot of them, I hear, the mental institutions are just emptied out.
That's what I hear.
The nut huts in Mexico are empty. Not one person left.
I am not seeing the data to support that.
Okay.
All right. All right.
Fiction.
Fiction
next.
It is.
We are going with fiction. Let's see. What was that? Number three?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Moving on to number four.
I inherited all these high prices. They came in and they said affordability. They made up the word because that's the only thing they're good at, although I'm good at making up words. So they go, affordability. I was there one day. And I called this young lady right over here, Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Agriculture, and I said, Brooke, get the egg prices down, please. And she got them down. And by the way, speaking of Tom Tiffany, is one of the best congressmen in our country.
Yes, that is. I did not edit that portion. That is the train of thought that rolled on to the next one.
Wow, okay.
Can I vote more than once on one thing?
You know what?
Sure.
I'm going to allow it.
Can I go fiction squared?
You may go fiction
squared. I may go fiction cubed on that one. I'm going to go cubed
if fiction.
I might.
All of it's fiction.
Pure fiction.
It is fiction.
All of it is pure fiction.
Let's break this down. So about the egg prices. Do we remember when eggs were $11?
You know what I remember about that? I remember a huge problem with a chicken disease that was going around, and millions of chickens had to be killed.
Yes,
because they were spreading disease.
Yes, it was infecting chicken farms across the country.
Yes, Wisconsin had numbers of stories about millions of chickens.
Yes, yes.
Okay, go ahead, Frank. I'm sorry. I'm just baffled.
I did have an avian flu outbreak. I love watching Brian during the clips.
Yes.
I think that's more fun than the actual game. Here's an interesting note. Brooke Rollins increased the import of eggs to counteract the avian flu outbreak. However, one, it wasn't fixed overnight. Two, the avian flu was not fault of any president or any president's term.
It happened.
Biden.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Biden. So no, you don't really get points for that one. And you don't need me to rattle off facts to tell you that affordability isn't a made-up word or a hoax. It's affecting all of us at the grocery store, at the gas pump, and it affects some of us. Let's say if you were over the age of 30 and you've never owned a home before, and you're probably not going to anytime soon.
Right.
That's affordability.
Affordability is a made-up word.
Wow.
When it comes to things like the tariff decisions and the invasion of Iran, those two things can be blamed for a lot of these costs. Not all of them, but most of them, especially when you're looking at the gas pump and you're going to the store to buy things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the Tom Tiffany part?
See the best congressman.
I guess that's a matter of opinion.
That's a matter of opinion. That's right.
I just kept it in there because I thought it was interesting that we went from eggs directly to Tom Tiffany just like that.
Yeah. Because he's too chicken to vote against Trump. Anyway, that's me. I apologize. I'm out of line.
All right. Do we have
moving
time
on?
For one
I
more?
Think we got time at least for one more, right?
Okay. At least.
A little
at
over
least.
A minute.
Okay.
And your 401ks, who has a 401k here? Let me just say, a lot. Your 401ks, as you know, just hit a record high. So that's everybody.
The Dow's at 5,000.
Fiction.
That
one's hard because
I'm
the Dow keeps
going
up
say
and down.
That one's, I'm going to say it's a fact because that's all he cares about, is, and he's manipulated the market enough. I'm going to say fact on that one.
I'll say fiction just
That's
because
the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a fact.
I am insightful.
Fidelity reported that the average 401k balance reached a record $146,400 at the end of 2025. That's up 11.2% from a year earlier. However, there was pullback in early 2026. And we'll leave it at that.
Wow.
That was fact or fiction,
Frank,
guys.
Stellar.
Stellar.
So much fun.
Frank. Stellar.
Thank you.
We're going to talk to James Kelly. We talked to him the other day. He was in the Chippewa Valley for the president's visit. We'll get his thoughts on what was going on up there and some protests. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson. You're listening to the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Local voices, statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:52 right now. Thank you for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Glad you are here. Jamie, we got to remind everybody
me
they've
too.
Got about 7 minutes for this hour's word in our Accelerate Your Summer Text to Win Multi-State Contest. You know the deal. Every day we're giving away $100 in a Wisconsin Dells prize package. And anytime you enter, you are in the drawing for the grand prize, which is $250 in gas, another $250 in groceries. This hour's word is
light.
Light.
Yes.
L-I-G-H-T. Light. L-I-G-H-T. Light. You have until 8 o'clock to text that word in using your Civic Media app. Don't text our regular number. We will not count it. So use the Civic Media app. Text light. L-I-G-H-T. And that's your chance to win. Good luck. Well, we were as you were listening, hopefully, to Fact or Fiction, we know the president was in Chippewa, the Chippewa Valley on Friday. He was having a roundtable. He was talking to farmers. There were people in the crowd. There were people protesting a ways away. And there were people covering the story, like James Kelly, senior radio journalist at Civic Media for WCFW and WSCM in Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls. We talked to James right before this event, and he said he would come back, and he did. James, thanks for being here. Crazy day up in the Chippewa Valley on Friday. The heart of the 3rd Congressional District, and you had a chance, first of all, what was the mood up there? And you had a chance to talk to a lot of the candidates in the 3rd Congressional District. Tell us why that district is important and what they had to say regarding the president's visit.
Well, I think the best way to kind of say it would be how candidate for 3rd Congressional District, Emily Berge, said it, is that this is a swing district in a swing state, and there is a lot of power here in the 3rd Congressional District to kind of direct how the rest of the state is going to go and how the rest of the country is going to go in the House of Representatives, just because of, you know, how competitive this district is. And, you know, if this is a district that swings towards the blue side, it's a pretty safe bet that a lot of other swing districts are going to be doing the same.
And obviously, Republicans agreeing with the fact of that the 3rd District is such a priority. Can you explain to us a little bit about why this district is so important politically, both for Wisconsin and nationally, and kind of the makeup of the 3rd District?
Yeah, well, as you know, we have a pretty interesting map of the 3rd Congressional District, a little bit of a U-shaped there. So it is a pretty interesting district that has a lot of farms in it, and it does have a couple cities, La Crosse, Eau Claire, and that's really where most of the Democratic votes come from, but there's a lot of farmland in there too. Now, the big problem is that over the last year, a lot of farmers have had difficulties with tariffs, selling their things off and getting the fertilizers they need. And, you know, I always think it's one thing to say that they're struggling. It's another thing to say, imagine having to fill a 300-gallon combine with diesel fuel at almost $6 a gallon. That makes a huge difference for you. So there's a lot of, I would say, anger, honestly, of farmers who have previously voted Republican and wanted this America First agenda. It's just not what they've gotten, really.
So, James, speaking of that, there were some protests going on. They were about a mile away from where the president was. What were you hearing? What were the big messages coming out of these protests?
Yeah, a lot of it was about the farmers and the war in Iran and gas prices. That's definitely the major issues right now. But a lot of these individuals who are protesting have also been out and about in the Chippewa Valley community protesting before. You know, no kings. There's a lot of leftover signs from those that people keep breaking out. And, you know, it seems almost like these people aren't forgetting any of the issues that have brought them out to protest before. They're only adding to the list. So the protests are getting a bit bigger. There was about 300 protesters at the airport when Air Force One was landing. Nice. Probably a little over 150 outside the roundtable discussion as well. There were some Trump supporters as well at the airport, just there to kind of watch the plane land, not really there to protest anything, just kind of excited to catch a glimpse of the president. And there wasn't too much of a back and forth between those protests, which was good to see.
We're talking with James Kelly. He's a senior radio journalist for WCFW and WSCM in Eau Claire and the Chippewa and Chippewa Falls. Obviously, criticism from the protesters, from the people who were in support of the president, maybe going to the roundtable discussion. What kind of support does he still have in that area? And what are they still most pleased with this president about, if you were hearing from any of them?
Oh, that's kind of tough to narrow down sometimes. A lot of times it's just we love President
sure.
Trump. President Trump does what we want. And a lot of times these people are focused on, you know, Medicaid, claiming Medicaid scams and elections being rigged and all that. And they want to go back and forth with it a little bit. And as when it comes down to backing up statements with factual evidence, it becomes more look it up.
Yeah, it's I wanted to get your response, James, as a journalist. You cover the news. If you happen to see Kristen Welker's interview yesterday and a lot of people saying it's about time that a journalist spoke up to the president and called him out on this, just on a personal level, what's your thoughts on that exchange?
Yeah, I did see it. It was definitely an interesting exchange, and it was nice to see, you know, somebody kind of demand that evidence, those facts. That's not something that happens very often, but this is also a conversation that I have with a lot of other lawmakers who, you know, when they're speaking on these policies and speaking on what's being said about these policies and what reality is, a lot of times they know, like, I mean, how are we supposed to really cover this? You know, something new and interesting and important is happening pretty much every day, and it's impossible
yes.
to kind of keep up that pace on everything every single day, and it just starts to become a little normalized.
Is it going to be a quieter week for you in the Chippewa Falls area this week, James?
Oh, I hope not. I like when things happen.
Good. We like
there
to hear
you go.
That.
Well, we're always happy to have you. James Kelly, senior radio journalist at Civic Media for WCFW and WSCM in the Eau Claire Chippewa Falls area. James, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Always look forward to talking to you. When we come back, there is so much more. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.